by the primitive Tungus people of central Siberia. One farmer said he was plowing his field when he heard a terrific explosion. The blast knocked his plow horse to its knees. The ground trembled. The farmer looked up and saw a huge, elongated, flaming object, many times the size of the sun, flying through the sky. And when the object disappeared in the distance, there was another tremendous explosion, one so powerful it shattered the windows in the farmer's cabin. One man sitting on the porch of his house saw the northern sky erupt in flames. Others in the area told of hurricane-like winds. And after the awful thing was over, the people ran to their villages and huddled in the streets in terror. Surely the world was about to come to an end. But it was not. And this is the rest of the story. What you've just heard described has been known ever since as the Tunguska event. It was observed by witnesses hundreds of miles from the final flash of fire. When it happened, it sent atmospheric shock waves twice around the Earth. For days thereafter, one could read a newspaper in the dead of night by light scattered through atmospheric dust 6,000 miles away. So remote is the Tunguska region that 13 years passed before those eyewitness accounts were collected, almost two decades before a scientific expedition reached the site. 37 miles from the center of the explosion, the scientists discovered a zone of topless trees, and the farther they ventured, the more barren the landscape became. 3 miles from ground zero, the giant trees of the Taiga forest lay stripped and flat against the ground. Over the years since that 1927 expedition, an explanation's been sought for the cataclysm that leveled almost 1,000 square miles of Siberian timber. Considering the evidence, scientists now generally agree that the culprit was a fragment of a comet, a huge chunk of dirty ice the size of a football field, weighing 1 million tons and traveling 70,000 miles an hour. And when that gigantic ball of ice blew up 30,000 feet above the Taiga, it created 30 million degrees of heat in an instant, and audible sound waves that carried more than 600 miles. Physicists debating the force of the explosion have guessed up to 30, even 40 megatons. That would be 2,000 times the destructive power of the bomb that wasted Hiroshima. Early next year, 1987, the Soviets are going to be marketing a new product, a super fertilizer that increases the yields of herbs and corn and wheat and beets 40%, increases the yields of potatoes 50% anywhere that they sprinkle it, a super fertilizer, conceivably a solution to world famine. Russian scientists developed the formula from soil found in the Siberian Tunguska, where for the last 3/4 of a century the trees have grown to twice the size they should have, and where those same trees are virtually immune to disease. That's right. Somehow, in 1908, the soil in that region of many hundreds of square miles was mysteriously transformed. Back then, that hot 100-yard boulder seemed a cinder from hell itself. You know, instead, it was a gift from the stars. For now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
All right, we're back.
We almost had a hot mic situation there, but I did see the lights were on.
She was asking me classified information, and I had to plead the fifth.
I was not.
I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of aliens, underground facilities, flying Tic Tacs or anything else. But what I can confirm that is that call in 238-5775, or you can text us at the same number, or 5772. I can confirm that.
Thank you, Kenny. I do you feel like you are taxed enough? I just wake up every morning thinking, could I be taxed anymore? So when we were talking about the school bonds, I have a a meme that I just look at from time to time. And I think once or twice I've called in on the show, and now I just have the Friday time on the radio, so I don't call in as much. But if enough people call me with questions specifically about elections, or Kevin invokes my name, I will call in the morning. But here's a list of taxes the average American is asked, but it's crossed out and says forced to pay. So here's a really, it's not a short list, but I'll read through a few of them. Property tax, sales tax, state income tax, marriage license fees, local school tax, vehicle registration tax, business registration,
gas,
and permit fees, waste management tax, cigarette tax, court fees, dog license tax.
I have an undocumented dog.
A driver's license fees, social security taxes, gift tax, garbage tax, fishing license fees, estate tax, gun ownership fees, unemployment taxes, gasoline tax, hunting license fees, import taxes, individual health insurance tax, IRS interest and penalties, inspection fees. Oh, what else here? Insect control tax. Now, I don't know that I'm charged that one. Inheritance tax, penalty charges, liquor tax, luxury tax, Medicare tax, parking meter fees, passports, passport fees, air transportation, recreational vehicle tax, self-employment tax.
We get the point. A lot of taxes. And it goes on.
There's more.
Did you watch the governor's debate the other night?
I watched a portion of it. I only saw clips of it. But please,
well,
enlighten
Steve,
me.
Steve Hilton brought up that for the last 4 years, there's been about 80 I think it was $80 billion in fraud every year for the last 4 years. So $320 billion, that's what he and his team had identified for the last 4 years. So if you add that up...
It is much more than that, Kenny.
Well, for 4 years is the time frame that he looked at. I know you said it's like $1 trillion. But if you look at just that 4 years, that's $10,000 per citizen or resident in the state of California. And I don't mind paying taxes as long as I get something in return.
You
and
mean
that's,
representation?
No, like a service. You know, if I'm going to pay gas tax, I would like to have nice roads, which we don't have. If I'm going to pay, you know, out where I live, I've lived here for 14 years, and they fixed the road once in 14 years. And then they got mad at me because I'm the only person that lives on the road. And the guy's yelling at me because I'm driving on the road and they're not done. I'm like, you could have sent me a letter saying, hey, we're going to fix the road. But I'm going to town and you're going to have to clean up behind me. Go ahead, caller on the air.
Boy, here's a bunch. Hey, Darcia, you were at the Tea Party meeting. That gal that's running for clerk recorder. What's her name?
That would be, well, there's actually three people that are running, but
probably
at the Tea Party meeting, that
Vanessa.
Was Vanessa Rosso.
Okay. So could you explain in one sentence what she was talking about?
Darcia can never explain anything in one sentence.
To make something sane, that is a bit of an insane system that we have. But essentially, you have an additional option to vote this round starting now. And what they're trying to do, the whole state is trying to move toward vote center kiosks or vote centers where you can go and vote for any precinct. Wherever you are, you can go to one of these kiosks and get a ballot printed out that's from your precinct and count the ballot right then and there. So what we have right now is a little bit of a hybrid system so that you have an additional option this time of going to either the Atascadero Library upstairs to the elections office or to the San Luis Obispo County Clerk Recorder's office downtown. It's on Monterey and Santa Rosa Street. And you take your vote by mail ballot, the actual ballot, not the whole envelope that you've received and You don't even need to reply envelope, just the ballot itself where you voted. You vote that ballot and you go to the Atascadero Library, for example, sign a form, you put your name and your address and your signature, and that is considered, you put your ballot into the ballot box, and that is considered your vote.
I think that was 12 sentences.
I know, but I that's the best I can do. At the polls, this election, this coming election, I'm hearing that they will have the e-poll books, which means that instead of signing a paper voter roster, that you will be signing the e-poll book that verifies that you have not turned in a ballot anywhere else in the county and you have not sent in a vote by mail ballot, so that this is your vote that is counted. You'll be receiving a precinct ballot once you sign the e-poll book right then and there at the polling location that is on the top of your ballot. How's that?
So all of the precincts are going to have these e-poll books?
That's my understanding.
To sign into?
That's my understanding. Instead of a paper voter roster that you sign, it's where they're all connected into the central service, saying that if somebody shows up at one precinct, then they won't be able to show up at any other polling location in the county.
Right. Well, it seemed to me like she said this was a good system, but they were doing it improperly or pushing it too fast. Is that
okay? Now you're really putting me in a corner here because I think you know that I am opposed to anything that is electronic. I say it's, even if we're using electronic machines to have voter rolls and that it's connected to the system, that anything electronic can be hacked. Not even saying that they are being hacked, but they can be accessed remotely. And I say, why use something that can be hacked, even if it's not? So I am opposed, just on a philosophical basis, about using electronics for either the electronic management system, which is the voter rolls, and I'm opposed to using electronic machines, the tabulators, for the counting of the votes. What she was describing was that they are trying to have it be a vote center county, and we're not. So that takes public outreach, it takes meetings with the public, and it takes a vote of the Board of Supervisors and whoever else to say, okay, now we are going to become a vote center county. You would no longer have what would be referred to as a polling location, a home precinct. You would go to a vote center, which might be more centrally located, and you would get your ballot there and have your ballot be counted.
Or would there be a bunch of these centers?
Yeah, they're supposed to, by law, by elections code, you're supposed to start out with 50, where it represents 50,000 people, and then as it gets closer to the election, 10,000 people per voting kiosk. So there are a lot of other counties that are vote center counties. Ours is not. Monterey is not. Kern County is not. The closest ones that are Ventura County and Kings County.
So can I ask one more question real quick?
Of course. It's your day. It's Open Mic Friday.
Oh my goodness. Oh, thank you. So Hilton and Bianco, what are we going to do? One of those guys has got to drop out.
I don't think that's going to happen realistically. And
no kidding.
What the Central Committee, the Republican Party, San Luis Obispo Central Committee determined, there are a lot of people that are pro Chad Bianco. He's the sheriff of Riverside County. There are a lot of people that are more Fox News pro Steve Hilton people. And so literally what we decided, if it is a decision, is to have and endorse both of them and let people make their decision.
Well, that's what the state,
I know.
That's what the state did too, and it's not a decision.
Okay, why don't we just back the one who's at the top of the polls at the time?
Well, I personally don't believe that you can trust the polls anymore, and even the large national pollsters, Quinnipiac, and, you know, I mean, they're even looking at what has happened with especially the presidential elections over the last 10, 15 years, is that the numbers are so skewed that they can't even come within, you know, being able to say, remember Hillary Clinton and President Trump in 2016? They said, oh, Hillary Clinton's ahead by I don't even know how much at the polls. And I'm letting you know that the polling numbers, because of how our elections have been in the last 10, 15 years, I'll say 10, that the numbers don't make sense anymore. And the pollsters, unless they're being truthful, they will tell you, hey, you know, we some of these things don't make much sense anymore. But you can get a random sample and you can poll a bunch of people. And it's a very small amount to even represent. I mean, it's a statistical sample. We do that in auditing. And it's not that many people to, you can interview 230 people, and that represents 10,000 or 15,000. But it's always about who will answer the phone and how you phrase the question. You can ask leading questions. And so.
Okay. One more thing, since it's my day. So on the lighter side, you were listing a bunch of taxes. Sounds
yes.
like it might be just a lot more efficient for us to just give everything we make to the state and then ask for vouchers for food and clothing and transportation and stuff back.
Don't give them any ideas.
Yeah, that is, you can start in an initiative. How's that?
There you go.
Right now, there's All somebody right. writing that down. Why
no
haven't
new
we
taxes.
Thought of that?
Yes, and we have locally, we have the school bond measure that's coming forward, and we have the PRAGA, the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority, that's now charging what's essentially a tax. It's a Proposition 26. It's going to be a consumption based on consumption for the agricultural farmers. So I'm also opposed to that. Can you tell that I'm opposed to the taxing?
No kidding. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. All right.
We're seeing blinking lights, but I...
It's not our line.
I don't think that's the next line, so...
Well, let's talk, since we're on the topic of taxes. I'll give everybody, you know, back to the bond measure, general obligation bond, between the 12th, the meeting on the 12th, and I think the next meeting would be the two Tuesdays later. They have to pass, the board has to approve putting this bond measure out to the voters by June. And I think it's by the primary date. But when you look at this thing, there's still all sorts of flaws. There was a caller last week that wanted to know what we were going to build. And I still don't have any idea. They have recommendations in here. But if you don't have any paint to watch dry or any grain to watch grow, you can go to the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District and pull up under About Us the bond or the board meetings. And so on the 12th, this is going to be item K5. And
you sunk
the
my
first,
battleship.
The first blaring mistake that I see it, and it shows a flow chart, and it's strategic planning process. And it goes strategic planning, guided conversation, then it goes to facility master planning, done in conjunction with, I guess, strategic planning, and then resulted in the need, general obligation bond. Well, we don't have a facility master plan yet. So you're again... The biggest problem I have with this is you're asking for money, and then you're going to tell the taxpayers how it's going to be used later on. As you go through the 60 pages, there are lots of really pretty pictures of things that they want to build. It's all mostly at the high school, but it's general obligation bond. They do state in there, Darcia, to your point, I think you're the one that kept saying it's essentially a loan. It's a loan. Bonds are essentially loans that are repaid by tax on all property within the district's boundaries. And Darcia, what's the amount per household again? It was
Well, at $205 million, which is the amount that
they're talking $60 per 100,000 of assessed value. That's the soft cap they have on there. So that's the high end that they're looking at.
Well, that amounts to, if you have registered voters, that's $6,677.52 per registered voter. Yeah. So household, you're looking at $13,000 per household.
But it lists through, you know, Prop 39 bond election, 55% voter approval threshold, $60 per $100,000 of assessed value. Bond proceeds can be used for furnishings and equipment. And then citizen oversight committee required. Our citizen oversight committee hasn't met for almost 2 years now, and there's still about $7 million. And I brought this up at the last board meeting, and I got the goldfish look.
That is an oversight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an oversight of the oversight committee. Good news is, and I didn't realize this, so I learned something from looking at these slides, but it requires a two-thirds board approval. So that would be five of the seven. So, you know, I only need to find one more person to go along with me off that board, which is doable. The district facilities, so here's the timeline on here. So May 12th, that's where we're going to look at the draft resolution, which I'm not going to read to you because it's a lot of the whereas. Next meeting would be May 26th and present the final resolution ballot language, and then June 16th is the deadline to file with the resolution. So the only action item is May 26th. So if you all are going to help me, you at least have to be there at the May 26th. Darsha will provide pitchforks and torches. That's a joke.
But well, Kenny, the thing that really bothers me about this is that it's put out there like, unless we do this, the entire school district is just going to fall apart.
Well, what bothers me about it is the sense of entitlement. But we'll get into that. Back in a minute.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Susan Lee, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending higher for the day and week, with tech leading the charge and boosting the tech-heavy NASDAQ, which surpassed the 26,000 level for the first time and notched a new record close, as did the S&P 500, as investors digested a surprisingly strong April jobs report. 115,000 new jobs were added last month, despite an economic shock from the Iranian conflict, while the unemployment rate was unchanged at 4.3%. The Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks were mostly higher, led by Tesla and Apple. Shares of Apple rose nearly 2% and notched a record close. The Dow winners, United Health Group, Goldman Sachs, and Boeing. The Dow decliners, McDonald's, Microsoft, and Home Depot. The Dow rising 12 points, the NASDAQ higher by 441, S&P 500 up 62. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Sunny here from the Floral Parlor in downtown Paso Robles, across the street from the Boot Barn. My dad raised me to understand that capitalism creates freedom. Charity comes from churches and community, not government. Running a small business in California is tough, but I'm thankful for this wonderful community and appreciate your support of the Floral Parlor. Stop buying expired grocery store flowers and see the difference in design and longevity. Make someone's day. Send flowers with no delivery charge when you mention KPRL. Hope to see you soon at the Floral Parlor.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
All right, so now's the time where I say these opinions represent me, not Darsha, Kevin Will, KPRL, Paso Robles Joint Unified School District, just little old me. But we were talking about sense of entitlement. So the thing that frosts me when I look at these slides is when you look through them, every time they bring up and they put this bar chart up that basically, you know, says, you know, people of Paso Robles are essentially cheap, because you have and if you're interested in following along at home, it's slide 11 of 60. But it shows how much bond authorizations there have been between 2004 and 2024, and it puts Paso down at the bottom. And the insinuation is that we're not giving enough, we don't do our part. We've only passed two bond measures since 2006. I still have issues with Measure M, and they look at Measure M as a great success. But when you look at the Glenn Speck rebuild, $28 million is what they spent. They budgeted initially 12. I think that got increased to about 22, but they still spent 28. The aquatics complex, you know, that when you read through all the paperwork prior to...
And the grand jury reports.
Yeah, and the grand jury reports, you know, they've got $16.7 million down for this. And I asked what the final numbers were at the last board meeting, because they're closing it out. And they assured me they were going to bring back a finalized report to the community. I think it's going to be more than 16.7. But what they told the community was it was going to be $5 million. So I'm sorry, but I still don't see Measure M as having been PRJ USD delivered, exclamation point. That's the title of the slide.
So of those, that Measure M bond measure, what wasn't done that they originally said, oh, we need this bond in order to go through because we need it for...
Blank. Well, it was for Georgia Brown. It was mm-hmm. the 36th Street campus, mm-hmm. which was one of the sales points. It was going to be rebuilt, and the decision was made to close that school. And, you know, I voted along with the board to close that school primarily because the building was unsafe, in my opinion. And I walked through those buildings, and there had not been maintenance done to those buildings for probably 6 or 7 years, it looked like.
And Kenny, I think that's what's frustrating to me, is that we the public, are told we need to do this because we don't have enough money in the budget to be able to maintain the facilities as they currently are. And that is, you do not have maintenance be one of the reasons why you have a bond measure.
Yeah.
So
there was no deferred maintenance that I could find. There was no record of deferred maintenance having been carried out prior to Mrs. Loftus showing up last year. I could not find anything in the records when you go through and you look at the facility maintenance plans. So I've tried to get board members to think about, well, you know, don't ask for $220 million. Just build a building. You know, start small, regain the trust of the community. If you're going to go and build something, just say, we want to build a CTE facility. Now, the other problem I have is, there are school districts around the state that have been very successful in getting grant money. You know, I met a lady here locally who was a Paso Robles graduate, went on to be a professional in the education industry, and writes grants. And she got $30 million for Downey School District to build CTE facilities. So the money's out there. And she looked at our numbers and said, you should be probably getting about 10 times as much in federal money based off of my experience. So that's a resource that I don't think is being fully taken advantage of. But we also have other buildings. When you look through, this is the closest for the caller who called in last week asking what we were going to build. You've got, you know, potential projects list, and it's...
Where's the air conditioning for the gymnasium?
Well, they've got that in there, but... if you remember the results from the polling, the athletics program stuff really didn't pass muster. It's not going to hit the numbers. But for the Paso Robles High School project list, these are things that could potentially pass. Construct CTE vocational education classrooms that are adaptable to industry demand. You've got an empty campus on 36th Street that could be partially salvaged. Renovate existing classrooms, build a new cafeteria. That's a nice to have, not a must have. Replace or refurbish locker rooms, et cetera. That's, you know, stuff there should be, you know, you could budget for that and do it. And that, I think, is my biggest complaint with a lot of what I've seen is we just redid pretty much all the roofs. We just replaced a lot of the HVAC systems. And someone... You know, my background, you plan out, you know, I put a 25-year roof on Winifred Pfeiffer School last year. So I know that in 2050, I need to make sure there's money to replace that roof. And I can budget that within my, you know, general fund. But that staff just doesn't seem interested in going down that road.
It is other people's money.
It is other people's money. And so when I look at slides that insinuate that, you know, we just aren't giving enough, it bothers me. The money is fungible. You know, we can, the bureaucrats will tell you, oh, well, you can't use this money for salaries or anything like that. Yeah, but that preserves money in the general fund to go towards salaries.
That's not going toward maintenance. That's not right. Going toward other things.
That makes it so you don't have to have that deferred maintenance fund again. Because I've pitched a fit about making sure that we're doing maintenance. You know, taxpayers are spending a lot of money on these buildings. They need to be maintained. So, really pretty pictures in here. I think somebody probably did this, like we hired somebody to do this, and I think I mentioned it before.
It's gone around the state.
But I've been saying it's $100,000 to put this on the ballot. It's actually $120,000. Caller, go ahead.
Yes. If, as you say, you manage your money properly in preparation for when you're going to need it, like a roof replacement, you earn interest on your money as you're building it. If you wait till you need a bond to do it, you have to pay interest on that money and whatever it costs to get that bond passed.
Absolutely.
Good point. And all of the grants that are out there, part of the whole administration of the grant is that then the administration function, whether it's the district or the county or the state, they get 10-12% just for administering that. So there's kind of a game out there to get these grants for just that administration fee. So,
yeah, and when I look on here, you know, the counter argument that they would make to me as, you know, why you should not, you know, plan ahead. They've got a slide in here that basically says, you know, current estimated costs for the new animal barn, $240,000. 5 years out, it will be $300,000. So they're factoring in inflation. I actually think that, you know, if we in the kerfluffle in Iran and the state of California actually starts pumping oil and opening refineries again, I think costs will go down because...
And ending the fraud, waste, and abuse.
Well, if you factor in interest that you're going to make on the money you're putting away in a savings, that should offset at least most of that, if not all of it.
Yeah, I'm not smart enough to know whether I...
Are you interested in running for the school board?
No. I'm not in your city anyway.
I like how you think. Thank you for making your point and agreed. That's how we try to run our own household. And I've always said, if governments would at least consider if it was their own money, or they would at least consider it as if they were running their own household, it would be done very, very differently. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, somebody made a comment about the term entitlement, and I think that's more often what is being done here. Because, see, the people that work within government, which has been so frustrating to me, because my wife and I, for example, we've never been given one dime in our life. We earned every penny that we ever got. And if I didn't perform a particular job, guess what happened, Kenny, to me?
You lost your job. or you got corrected. So.
And I was told in no uncertain terms that, you know, we love you, we care for you, but if you don't perform, you're not going to be here. And that's the world I grew up in for 40 years. So if people think that I'm a little bit sharp sometimes, that's the world that I grew up in. So what disturbs me is that when we deal with people who think that they're entitled to my money without performing appropriately or properly in order to earn that money, that is what really frustrates me and many others out there. It's not that we don't care about education or facilities or whatever it might be. It's because there's this attitude that somehow people in government are entitled to my money without performing and really showing that they've earned it.
Right.
Agreed. And it's the accountability of saying, okay, now you're saying that you want this, but here's the past performance. So there's no indication that past performance is going to change. So when they're putting out, you know, this is a success story for Measure M, and Kenny and I and many people can look at it and go, well, hold on a minute, that was not what was originally budgeted. And so it really is. Yeah.
I sat on the Measure M committee.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in that whole process. And I can tell you right now that there was such mismanagement of the Measure 10 monies because of the superintendent who happened to be in office at the time, and the knuckleheads who were on the Board of Trustees. Why I got so involved in that whole thing is because I believed that there was a better way to do things. And so I got involved. I spent my time, energy, and effort. And the bottom line is, I don't think that the current leadership on the Board of Trustees, as far as the majority goes, has even a clue as to how incompetent and just outrageous their behavior has been. And if the taxpayers want to go ahead and vote another bond in, which I will never support, not until I see some serious changes, not only on that board, but in their performance, I'll never support another dime going to our school district that they don't already receive, which is a lot of dimes, by the way, because your property tax, go look at your property tax bill.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. I agree wholeheartedly.
And it's not just 1 year, it's 20 years, and then 30 years, and 40 years, and if you have an additional bond in that time, then they're stacked on top of each other.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I agree wholeheartedly with everything you just said. There's a degree of trust that has to be reestablished, and I've said this to Mrs. Loftus, and I've said this to the board, that if you expect the people of Paso and the North County to basically give you, you
know,
$6,000 to $7,000, well, I was going to say, don't ask for a blank check, which is what they're asking for. Have a plan, which I don't see a plan yet. That should be step one. But then show that you're worthy. Those CAF scores, those are our report cards, and we're failing as a school district. All right, back in a minute.
We get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lucier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SloCountyHearingAids.com.
All right, we're back on the text line. Got another text.
All right, here we go.
This school district doesn't want to spend their money. Instead, they want to spend my money. I'm still paying on the 2006 and 2016 bonds. They need to take care of what we already gave money for. I'm saying no. They clearly don't know how to do upkeep on what we've already given them. No, that's a good point. I mean, you know, we sold at pennies on the dollar the campus out at Whitley Garden, but when you look through what the district is at, you know, the staff is recommending here, you know, one of the things they're asking for is money for an ag facility. Well, you had land there.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I mean, there are all sorts of plans that would, you know, make us good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. You could refurbish, you could refurbish 36th Street for a heck of a lot less than $220 million. It's those, for those that are familiar with that campus, it's those buildings that are in the middle that are perpendicular, that weren't, that had the butterfly roofs. Those were the ones that weren't maintained, and those are the ones that I think need to be torn down. But you could turn that into some sort of CTE facility. And the staff will say, well, then we have to get students over there. Well, you know, other school districts have figured this out. I think we can do it too. But that's part, again, of gaining the trust, showing that you're good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. I agree that, you know, the district is going to eventually have to, if there's going to be a shift in focus towards attracting business to this area, to keep, to provide the students with the pathway that will pay them enough to live here. And I think that's a lot of people's concerns right now. I know Mrs. Loftus, I forgot the gentleman's name that was on with Barry Fisher a week or two ago. They talked a lot about the airport, and I think that's great stuff. I'm all for that. I'd be willing to support a bond measure in support of that, but you haven't given me a plan. And before you have somebody that can qualify to go and do the soldering and the advanced welding, they have to be able to do basic math and reading. And again, our CASP scores, those are the standardized tests for the state. We're failing as a district. You know, California ranks 48th. Paso Robles ranks in the bottom third of school districts in the state of California. And until we recognize as a district, we got a problem that we got to fix, we're never going to get better. And this is the biggest, you know, I'm the hard blankety blank on the board, but my philosophy is, if all you're going to do as a board is tell staff and everybody what a great job they're doing, what incentive is there for them to improve? If you don't set a mark for them to achieve, they're never going to achieve it. And I don't think it matters what race you are, what religion you are, or anything else, unless, you know, I think anybody can achieve a mark as long as you establish that mark for them to achieve and you encourage them to do it. We just don't do it. We want everybody to be happy. We're going to have the wellness centers. Oh, you didn't study for your test? Oh, well, here's a pacifier and a teddy bear, and you can go sit in the beanbag chair in the wellness center. I mean, that, if I wasn't ready for a test, I took the F, and then I had to face my parents when I got home. You know, it's not good. People in this community need to chime in. So I need you guys to start showing up. Either it's going to be an information item on May 12th. May 26th is when it's going to be voted on, though. And I need one other person to go along with me.
And just so, anytime I oppose something, and for what I think are legitimate reasons, I also want to try to offer up solutions. So I think there's a lot of community support for certain areas. And perhaps we start looking at how do we support our school district and encourage, you know, I think the manual arts, I think getting back to things that actually work and teaching practical skills to people. It's invaluable. So let's go ahead and teach those things that really mean something to our children, and what used to be called education actually make it educational. So welcome to Open Mic Friday. You're on the air.
Hi, Kenny and Doris. I'm calling up here to look at Breitbart.com. It's on that Breitbart, B-R-E-I-T. There's a follow-up to... And now, because of the book, The Invisible Coup.
Right.
Did you read that yet?
I've read The Invisible Coup. Did you call in a couple of weeks ago about that?
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, and I'm calling. I'm excited about something because as of today, the government's going. The U.S. government's going after the Mexican consulates.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the article right now.
I'm excited. Yeah. Okay. There you go. I just want to pass that along.
Yeah.
So for the book was is.
Yeah, for the listeners that haven't read the book or don't know what we're talking about, Peter Schweitzer goes into a lot of detail about how the Mexican government was encouraging some of the protests last summer and around the country, but particularly in Los Angeles. And they also are helping Mexican illegals in the United States dodge law enforcement.
Know your rights.
Helping them to vote in elections, basically to influence those elections. Did you hear that the governor of the Mexican governor of Sinaloa was indicted? I think earlier this week. But also Obrador, the previous president, was also indicted on corruption charges by the feds. And I think old Sheinbaum should be on that list next. So it's going to be interesting. When I was in the Marines, I was stationed at U.S. Southern Command and spent a lot of time in Latin America. But I had some very interesting conversations with Mexican military officials and their views of the Western United States.
The concept of the stolen lands. They keep going back to stolen lands.
And our schools in California are teaching that.
That is a misconception.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go into the history. I know a little bit of the history, but the whole thing about the Mexican consulates, I mean, call it an infiltration, I think.
Well, they should lose their diplomatic status. They should be, frog marched to the airport, put on a plane, and told not to come back. Right. So...
Growing up in Fresno, I didn't realize there was one. There's one there in Fresno.
Yeah, they have in that. I forgot what it said in the book, but there are like a couple hundred or a couple thousand Mexican consulates around the country, whereas most countries will have maybe a dozen. It was at least a couple hundred consulates around the country,
and they assist with documentation and they assist with different. I'll call it know your rights because that's the terminology that they use.
But people, Americans forget, I think it's the second source, licit legal source of funds for Mexico are, the word escapes me, but basically money that's sent from families in the United States down to Mexico. But the oil is number one. Financial transfers, from the United States down to Mexico is number two, I think. And then, concrete was number three. And it's probably all dwarfed by the illegal, drug and human smuggling. But
I just say, okay, now this is my opinion only, but it's the, the trafficking. So you have the drug trafficking, the human trafficking, the ballot trafficking. They're all related because that's essentially the currency that how this follow the money. We'll keep going on that.
Yeah, there's this is kind of a tangent, but on the drug thing, I know Californians are all for their pot, but I'm telling you that all that's doing is fueling the violence down in Mexico. I have a friend who's still an active DEA agent down in the Yuma sector. And I haven't spoken to him for a couple of years, but probably 2022, I think, was the last time I had an in-depth conversation with him. But what do you think they were finding on most of the people coming up from Mexico? What was on them? Was it drugs?
Well, there's...
It was cash.
Good question.
They're bringing cash.
Because they have to get it back into the system.
Yeah, so they're smuggling cash. They're bringing cash up into the United States because you're selling pot legally. The cartels have taken over most of the legalized drug trade. But all right, we're going to let you go. Have a great weekend.
Right. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, caller. You got about 2 minutes.
That's a long time.
Hi. How you doing? I got a question. I was wondering. It's off your subject of. But protocol on what to do with a mail-in ballot when you decide to just go in and vote in person.
Darsha?
Okay, I can handle that one. If you want to vote before Election Day, I'm not going to call it early because that's a special term, then you take your vote-by-mail ballot, go to the Atascadero Library upstairs, and you can fill out your name, address, and signature, and be able to put in your vote-by-mail ballot into the ballot box. you alternatively want to vote in person on election day, go to your polling place as listed at the top of your ballot.
And
get
fill,
a pre-seat ballot.
And fill out the old one so they can't steal
yeah,
it.
Put
and,
void or vote it if you like.
Do you
this
put
hour void
we have a break?
Well,
sorry. Mitch,
gotta let you go.
Medals across the parking lot from the
right,
movie theater
in
Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.